Good morning, everyone. Hajra Rahim, and I co-host Blog Talk Radio with Rodney Gittens, and he should be joining us soon. He had something he had to do, so he'll be just a little bit late. Well, not late, really, because there's no such thing as lateness. It's just everything is perfect timing. So we are going to continue on talking about and exploring The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And for those of you who have been with us all this while, I hope you have been enjoying this and getting something new out of it, or at least getting some insights into how you can make your own life more fulfilling, because spirituality is a personal journey. We support each other and we help each other, but we have to do the work ourselves. And part of doing the work ourselves is getting the knowledge and the wisdom that we need in order for that to happen. And we support each other in that process. It's just like somebody can fix you dinner, but they can't make you eat it. You have to do that yourself. So we are here to help and support one another as we go through this thing called life and as we walk on this path called spiritual development, spirituality, which is much different from religion. So we were talking about, Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about pain, the pain body, which is a result of the ego, and the ego trying to control your life and make you think that it is something that's the most important thing in your life is what it attaches itself to, when in truth, the most important aspect of your life is your spiritual self, not your physical self. Your ego is important in that it helps you navigate the physical dimension, because we have to have our ego in order to have a sense of power in the world, but it is not to take the driver's seat. It is not to take the control. We keep in control. And as long as we can keep in control, then we are good. But when we lose control and the ego then takes the driver's seat, then we are set up for the pain and the suffering that the ego has created due to its desire to be in control, and then there's resistance to anything that wants to take that control away from it, especially the higher self or the spiritual self, which is what we really need to have in control for us to have a peaceful, joyful, abundant life. So we're going to start on page 151 and talking about the impermanence and cycles of life. Yes, I think we've all experienced the impermanence and the cycles of life. If we have passed our 20s, we went through high school and all that stuff and through college, we know that life is always changing. In fact, one of the laws says there's nothing permanent on this plane. Everything is subject to change. And we have seen a lot of changes, not only with our physical bodies, but with our life and our living situation, with things that we have learned and things that we have had to let go, people that we have had to let go, nothing lasts forever. So not on the physical plane. It lasts on the spiritual plane, but not on the physical plane. So he says on page 151 about impermanence and the cycle of life, he says, however, as long as you are in the physical dimension, and linked to the collective human psyche, physical pain, although rare, is still possible. This is not to be confused with suffering, the mental emotional pain. All suffering is ego created and is due to resistance. As long as you are in this dimension, you are still subject to its cyclical nature, and to the law of impermanence of all things, but you no longer perceive this as bad. It just is. And so he's saying here, as we develop ourselves spiritually, we rise to a higher state of consciousness, where we rise above all the drama that we see all around us. And we just allow it to be. We allow it to just exist, because it exists there for a reason. And he says here about the reason that it exists, because at one point, the pain that is on the physical level with its cycles and its rising and its falling and its losses and its gains, all of those come together to catapult us into the higher to a higher level of understanding life. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the book. But you know, when you've, you know, like in Alcoholics Anonymous, the saying is, when you hit the rock bottom, there's only one way to go, and that's up. And when you've done all you can do, you give it up. And when you realize you've suffered enough, you decide, you know, I've had enough of this. I want to make a change. And so that is the purpose of all of that suffering, is to bring us to the awareness that there is something beyond the suffering and the pain. There is happiness, which we know within ourselves. However, understanding that is another dimension, because what we have to do is go through these experiences so that we can become consciously aware that there is more going on than what meets the eye. And so he says, through the allness, through allowing this isness of all things, a deeper dimension underneath the play of opposites reveals itself to you as an abiding presence, the unchanging deep stillness, the uncaused joy beyond good and bad. This is the joy of being, the peace of God. Now, when you look at children, because I often just think about kids and how they handle life, especially the children who are under five. And they allow things to just to be. If they hurt themselves, if they fall down, they just hurt themselves. They fell down. They cry for, what, a minute maybe? You know, they want you to kiss it. And once you do that, it's all good, and they're right back at it. Think about when you were a baby. I know we don't remember this, and you were trying to walk. How many times did you fall down and bump yourself? And how many times did you cry? But you kept going. You kept doing it because you know for sure that if you didn't, you'd still be crawling around today. And would that be fun? No. So we have learned that from infancy that there is joy and there is pain. But underneath all of that is that one life that we all share, and that one sense of being that we all share, because we're all emanating from that sense of God, just like the sun rays emanate from the sun. And I know when, as I get older, I always felt like I was the same person with every birthday I had. I just never felt any real changes. And I was to wonder, you know, as I'm getting older and I'm learning more and these numbers are flying by, why do I still feel like the same person? And I still feel like the same person because it is part of the beingness of God. There is no change. You learn more. You experience more, but that does not change who you are. It makes you a person who has learned more. It makes you a person who has more experience, more wisdom to share, whatever that is. But underneath all of that, you are still the same person that you were when you were born. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, because situations, we know, are impermanent. They're temporary. And as Eckhart Tolle is trying to teach us here, that we don't hold on to these things. This is what Buddhism teaches, that all pain is an attachment. We attach ourselves to something, and then it hurts when it changes, or we have to let it go. But that is the deal on this plane, on this form here on the physical earth. There is changes all the time. That's the only thing that's truly constant. He says here on page 152 at the top, on the level of form, there is birth and there is death. creation and destruction, growth and dissolution of seemingly separate forms. This is reflected everywhere in the cycle of life of the star, of a planet, in the physical body, a tree, a flower, in the rise and fall of nations, political systems, civilizations, and in the inevitable cycles of gain and loss in the life of an individual. So this gain and life cycle, this form of growth and dissolution, creation and destruction, this is the game of life that we play. It is always going on continuously, like the seasons. We have the summer, spring, winter, and fall. Now, we're in the springtime now going into the summer. A few months ago, it was freezing outside. We had all that snow. The trees were bare. You couldn't find the birds. And everything looked very dark and bleak. Now, everything is green and lush. The trees are bearing fruit. The animals are out there. The birds are flying. The bees are there. The butterflies are there. And we just see all of this life. And for sure, it's going to go the opposite way again. It's going to come fall, and things will start to fall off the trees, the leaves. It'll start to get darker. It'll start to get colder. And then that's the winter, and then the spring comes, and things lighten up again. That is life. Those are the cycles he's talking about. So you can't hold on to the summer in the wintertime, and you can't hold on to the winter in the summertime. That causes pain and suffering, emotional pain, mental pain and suffering, when we have to let things go that we don't want to. And I know, been there, done that. I've had to let things go. I've had to let people go that I love dearly. But it was time to move on. It was time to go. I got divorced. And I tell you, that really kind of ripped my heart out. But I had to let it go. It was not for my highest good. I just recently moved from Seattle. I love that place, but I had a greater calling here in Brooklyn. So I had to let that go. And it took a time. I mean, you don't just walk off and just leave it. You have to go through the separation or the grief process. And there are stages in the grief process, and you have to let yourself grieve. You have to adjust to it, but you have to realize that you have to let it go. And so I was able to, knowing this, allow that part of me that was grieving the loss of parts of my life to let it go, I allowed myself time to do it. But at the same time, I was embracing my new life, and they were on two different coasts in two different places, so you couldn't have them both together at the same time. There's this book called Elegant Endings and New Beginnings, and so we have to learn how to acknowledge and celebrate the ending and then acknowledge and celebrate the new beginnings. So those are things that we can learn to do that would help ease the pain, because with every beginning comes an end, and with every ending comes a new beginning. So we have to be aware of these things, and as we help each other to become more aware of these rules or these principles or these laws that govern life, then we can feel more success, we can feel more in control, we can feel more conscious, we can be able to better go with that flow. He continues to say there are cycles of success when things come to you and thrive, and there are cycles of failure where they wither or disintegrate, and you have to let them go in order to make room for the new things to rise, for transformation to happen. If you cling and resist at that point, it means you are refusing to go with the flow of life, and you will suffer. Talk about refusing to go with the flow. It's like swimming upstream. You know, you can't. You know, it's a difficult swim to swim upstream. You're going against the current. The current is going downstream. You're trying to flow up, trying to swim upstream. It's a difficult time. You will use your energy, and you may just drown yourself if you don't realize that you're going against the current. Getting in the flow and going downstream, you don't have to exert nearly as much energy, because the stream will take you there with without any effort. You have to just relax and let it happen. And so we relax and we just look at life and say, okay, so this is the flow now. So how do I manage this? And you just relax and get into that flow. Grieve if you have to grieve. You bless where you've been and you embrace where you're going. So you go with the flow. Otherwise, you're inviting suffering in your life. He goes on to say, it is not true that the up cycle is good and the down cycle is bad, except in the mind's judgment. Growth is usually considered positive, but nothing can grow forever. If growth of whatever kind were to go on and on, it would become destructive and monstrous. Disillusion is needed for new growth to happen, and one cannot exist without the other. Now, we know this, especially today, with the word cancer. Cancer is uncontrolled growth of, we all have cancer cells in our bodies, I'm finding out, but the body knows how to manage it. It knows how to get rid of it. But at a certain point, because of how we are thinking, what's in our consciousness, well, the suffering that we've had, whatever reason, and there are a lot of different reasons for developing the cancer, but our own immune system is down and cannot fight off or get rid of these, what they call free radicals that are floating around our bodies at all times. And so we go through this situation called cancer. Now, sometimes folks can get the proper treatment and reverse it, and sometimes not. Sometimes there's just a spontaneous remission. Just people just spontaneously heal when they have come to terms with it. They're going with the flow. They've appreciated the life they have. They've learned a lot of spiritual lessons in the process, and they come into a state of gratitude and of joy and of happiness from this time that they had to spend looking at their own death. And the cancer goes away because they have learned their lesson and now they can move forward with joy. And so there's a lot that happens in there, in that situation, and a lot of people have talked about how some type of drastic illness or accident or something like that happened and how it came out to be the best thing that happened to them because now they were able to look at life from a whole different level. And they were able to appreciate life from a whole different level. They realized, one, the preciousness of life, and two, how not to hold on to things that really sometimes you're holding on to stuff that really doesn't mean anything. Especially like how much stuff you have in your house that you really don't need to be having in your house. Stuff that you want to get rid of, you haven't gotten rid of it, you haven't cleaned out your drawers or cleaned out your closet or cleaned out your bookshelf. There are a lot of things you can just let go of that no longer serve you. And not only are those things on the physical level, they're on the mental level and the spiritual level as well. And as we start to realize certain things, we can let them go so that we can embrace a better and even more joyful life. He goes on to say, the down cycle is absolutely essential for spiritual realization. This is what we're talking about. You must have failed deeply on some level or experienced some deep loss or pain to be drawn into the spiritual dimension. Or perhaps your very success became empty and meaningless, and so it turned out to be a failure. Failure lies concealed in every success, and success in every failure. In this world, which is to say on this level of form, everybody fails sooner or later, of course, and every achievement eventually comes to naught, for all forms are impermanent. So, you know, talking about the failures, I mean, look at the rise and fall of the Roman Empire they talk about, and look at the rise and fall of all of those different empires. Look at the Egyptian pyramids and all the civilization of the ancient times, quote unquote. And we can look at those places and look at those people and see how impermanent it is. It's the sands of time just overtakes it all and just washes it all away. We can enjoy it while it's here, and we do. We enjoy it while it's here. But at the same time, you have to know that this too shall pass, and it will go away. And so be prepared for that. to let it go. Enjoy it now. And when it's gone, it's gone. It's just like, you know, enjoying a good meal while you're eating it. It's great. It's wonderful. But then when it's gone, it's gone. I have grandchildren, and they love their popsicles, you know. But how long is a popsicle going to last? You know, 5 minutes maybe? They love the popsicle. And so they get the cold popsicle, and they just have a beautiful time, a wonderful time, joyous time eating this popsicle. But sooner or later, the popsicle is gone. And it's just like, oh, wow, you know, it's all gone. But you enjoy it while you have it. Same thing like with a movie. I mean, some of movies are just wonderful. We watch them over and over again. But those movies end. They stop. They have a conclusion, and it's over. And so we can watch it again, but we all know that it's going to end. And so with everything, this level of form, everything comes to an end sooner or later. I retired a few years ago, and I had been a teacher, an administrator, a principal for a number of years in Seattle, and I had a really good reputation, and people were like, oh, you can't retire. I'm like, it's time for me to retire. It's time for me to go. It's time to do something different with my life. And it was a difficult time for me to adjust. Thankfully, you know, it was my choice to retire. I wasn't forced out. I didn't become sick or anything like that. I chose to retire the time I retired, but even because it was a major change in my life, it was still a difficult thing to do. And so I had to go into my state of grieving for that. I had to look at my life and decide, what am I going to do now? There are a lot of issues that are going along with retirement. You don't just go out fishing, you know, just like that. For some people, their identity is tied up into their job, and they just refuse to retire. There was this one woman, she was a secretary, and she was like 80-something years old. She could hardly move, but they couldn't force her to retire, and she refused to retire. She just wouldn't do it. People who have died on their job, they just refuse to go because they don't know what they're going to do once they leave it. You've got to have a life. You have to look at your life and decide, what is it that I want to do now? What is my next expression? This one was temporary. I've grown. I've changed. I've got knowledge and wisdom and more understanding. So what am I going to do with that now? How am I going to share that? And we continue to grow and we continue to change. Things continue to come and things go, because everything on this plane is impermanent. So he continues to say, you can still be active and enjoy manifesting and creating new forms and circumstances, but you won't be identified with them. You do not need them to give you a sense of self. They are not your life, only your life situation. So we're talking about, it's not your life. It's only where you are now. It's like the car you drive. How many of you have had different cars? I've had several different cars, and I have enjoyed all of my cars. I loved all of them. But at different times, you know, things break down, things change, there are accidents, things happen to the car. And you just have to let the car go. And you let that car go, and then you get another car. A newer car, a more up-model car, for instance. I mean, now cars come with all the plugs and the doohickeys for the technology, the plug-in for this, the plug-in for that, the USB, the audio jack, all that stuff, the GPS. I mean, they just got all kinds of stuff. They have cars that talk to you, cars that can back up and park themselves, cars that can just practically drive themselves. And so if we were holding on to a car that we got when we were younger, years ago, our first car that we loved so much when we were in high school or college, we'd be really, really out of step with the technology today because it's not going to happen. We have our smartphones, our cell phones, our computers, our laptops. We have all this stuff, and it needs more power. In fact, it's really funny because my battery died, and I've only had that battery like 3 years. It's a Sears diehard battery. I love Sears diehard batteries because they last. And this battery died in 3 years. And I was like, well, what's up with that? So I took it to Sears, and I said, look, this battery's only 3 years old, and it's dead already. My batteries last 5 to 7 years. The guy looked at me. He says, okay, you have a modern car. I'm like, yes. And you have all these little amenities on your car. I said, yes. He said, those things take power. I have an alarm system that's on 24/7. I didn't have an alarm system on my previous car. I have this system and that system and the other system. I have plug-ins. I have this. I have that. He says, you have all this stuff on your car, and that stuff takes power. Therefore, it's using more power than your previous cars used, so you will experience an increase in a decrease, in your battery life because you have increased the power that is being drawn from the battery. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I can understand that. So that's a change. That was the impermanence of it all. We don't stay where we are. We are always subject to coming to a different situation and hopefully a more improved situation than our previous situations have been. So I continue to read on page 153, and this one is something that I know is near and dear to all of us. It says, your physical energy is also subject to cycles. It cannot always be at its peak. There are times of low as well as times of high energy. There will be periods when you are highly active and creative, but there will also be many times when everything seems stagnant, when it seems that you are not getting anywhere, you're not achieving anything. This cycle can last anywhere from a few hours to a few years. There are large cycles and small cycles within the large one. Many illnesses are created through fighting against the cycles of low energy, which are vital for the regeneration. The compulsion to do so and the tendency to derive your sense of self-worth and identity from external factors such as achievement is an inevitable illusion as long as you identify with the mind. So he's saying here that our physical self, our physical bodies, go through high and low periods. At times we are highly active and creative. At other times, we need to rest. And if we don't give our bodies sufficient rest, our minds sufficient rest, then we are heading for a brick wall. We are heading up against something. We are heading up against a possible looming illness or something that's going to happen to make us take the time. I had a girlfriend who was a workaholic. She worked all the time. She would not take off. She was 24/7, I don't even know when she slept. I'm like, you can't continue to do this. And she did. She did it for years. And then she got lupus. You know, she had to stop. She had to stop working. It was like, okay, she had exhausted her body. She had no reserve energy. Her body could not take care of itself anymore. And this illness took over. So she had to just stop. I was also talking to another woman, and she was talking about her mother, how her mother was insistent. She was a stay-at-home mom and wife, but she did all of this work all the time. And she became paralyzed after a while, and she couldn't do anything. And then her husband and her family then had to wait on her, which she had been doing for the last 40 years is waiting on them. So now it was her turn, her time. So we have to have that balance of the highs and the lows, like the ebb and the flow of the tides, while we sleep at night, and how much sleep are you getting, and what is the quality of sleep that you have. You have to regenerate your body. You have to regenerate your mind. You have to regenerate yourself. And if you don't let things go and get quiet and still, you won't have that time for regeneration, and therefore you will be headed for some illness or some other crisis in your life, so that you will be forced to take the time to do it. He says, this makes it hard or impossible for you to accept the low cycles and allow them to be. Thus, the intelligence of the organism may take over as a self-protective measure and create an illness or a crisis even in order to force you so that the necessary regeneration can take place. And so something will happen and we will have to stop. People have car accidents, you know, falls. I had a fall, you know, that forced me to stop because I was going too fast, too far, didn't give myself time to rest. I knew it, but I just couldn't seem to get off that cycle, off of that wheel, and I fell. And so when I fell, I had to stay in the bed. I had to go to therapy. I had to do all this stuff to regenerate. And so it's really, really necessary. So look at your life and see, when have you given yourself time, or if you haven't given yourself time, what have you created as a result of that forced you to give yourself time? Did you get sick? Was there a crisis? There was something that derailed you that made it necessary for you to stop, take a look, and regenerate. So this is what we do, because we live in a physical world here, although we're not physical beings, we're spiritual beings, but we do live in the physical dimension with a physical body and in a physical experience here that we need to realize that it's all cyclical in nature, that is all impermanent, and that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be able to let it go and embrace the new and let it go. He goes on to say that the cyclical nature of the universe is closely linked to the impermanence of all things and situations. The Buddha made this a central part of his teaching. All conditions are highly unstable and in constant flux, or as he put it, impermanence is the characteristic of every condition, every situation that you will ever encounter in your life. It will change, disappear, or no longer satisfy you. Impermanence is also central to Jesus's, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. So he says, as long as a condition is judged as good by your mind, whether it be a relationship, a possession, a social role, a place, or your physical body, the mind attaches itself to it and identifies with it. It makes you happy, makes you feel good about yourself, and may become a part of who you think you are. But nothing lasts in this dimension where moths and rust consume. Either it ends or it changes or it may undergo a polarity shift. The same condition that was good yesterday or last year has suddenly or gradually turned into bad. And the same condition that made you happy makes you unhappy. And the prosperity of today becomes the empty consumerisms of tomorrow. The happy wedding and the honeymoon become an unhappy divorce or an unhappy coexistence, or a condition disappears, so its absence makes you unhappy. When a condition or a situation that the mind has attached itself to and identified with changes or disappears, the mind cannot accept it, meaning the ego. It will cling to the disappearing condition and resist the change. It's almost as if a limb were being torn from your body. Now, that's pretty deep. I know I was, before I retired, I was looking at some retirement planning documentaries on PBS, I believe. And one of them was talking about what to do when you retire. And what was really fascinating to me, they were saying how men generally die within a couple of years after they retire, and women lived a lot longer. And the big difference was that men identified with their job. It was their ego. It was who they were. And without that job, without that position, without that place to go, what would they do? They felt no longer needed or having a purpose in life. And they just gave it up. And they died of lack of motivation to live. Live for what? What good am I now? Whereas women, on the other hand, for the, you know, not to say everything, but Women, on the other hand, felt, you know, they were more involved in relationships. They were mothers. They were grandmothers. They were sisters. They volunteered. They went to church. They had a social life outside of their job. And so they had a happier existence, and that made you live longer. There have been studies talking about relationships and how important they are, our family relationships, our unit of birth, of family of origin, or the family we've created. These relationships keep us alive. They give us a purpose for being. They serve as points of love and contribution to each other. And so they were encouraging men to get more involved with their families, to get to know their children and their grandchildren, to go to church and to volunteer at a local organization, a school, or Y, become a mentor. Do something that gave you a reason for living. Do something that you felt good about. Do something that you would get up out of the bed for and actually go do. What else in your life did you want to do besides work on that job for 25, 30, 40 years? What talent haven't you developed? There are things that you can do that will make your life feel more worthwhile. And so as we do this and we continue to contribute to it and understand that we are living in a world of impermanence, things change, things go, then we are prepared to make those changes when it becomes time to make those changes. And it won't kill us. The change won't kill us. It won't take away our sense of self because we realize that it's all impermanent. And so we continue with this because sometimes, you know, it's the thing that hurts the most that has taken us deep enough, survive that, to understand about the impermanence of life and to look for something that is greater than what we thought it was, to look at that thing that is that caused us so much pain and to rise above that pain because we survived the pain and we're still here. But what have we done with it? Have we gone into recluse? Have we gone into anger and resentment? Have we gone into how dare they do that to me? Or I'm going to get them back and then spend your life seeking revenge, which is, you know, not healthy for you or them. Or have you been able to surface from that and come up and say, well, there has to be a better way. There has to be better things to do. There has to be more than this. And as we look for those answers and we search for that quality of life to be better, then we can come into a better situation. But at the same time, we need to realize that nothing is permanent. It comes to pass, and we can enjoy it for a while, and then it passes, and then we enjoy the next thing. But like I said before, don't forget that, you know, we do have elegant endings. We do go through the grieving process, especially when it's something near and dear to us, and we also celebrate our new beginnings. So he continues to say, sometimes we hear of people who have lost all of their money or whose reputation has been ruined committing suicide. These are extreme cases. Others, where a major loss of one kind or another occurs, just become deeply unhappy and make themselves ill. They cannot distinguish between their life and their life situation. I recently read about a famous actress who died in her 80s. As her beauty started to fade and became ravaged by old age, she grew desperately unhappy and became a recluse. She, too, had identified with a condition, her external appearance. First, the condition gave her a happy sense of herself, then an unhappy one. If she had been able to connect with the formless and timeless life within, let me read that again. If she had been able to connect with the formless and timeless life within, she could have watched and allowed the fading of her external form from a place of serenity and peace. Moreover, her external form would have become increasingly transparent to the light shining through her from her ageless true nature. so our beauty would not have really faded, but simply become transformed into spiritual beauty. However, nobody told her this possible. The most essential kind of knowledge is not yet readily known or accessible. And so this is one of the things that, you know, we talk about the impermanence, because look at our lives, and as we grow older, you know, things happen to our body. It's not the same tight body it was when we were 18 years old. It's not the same tight body it was before we were having children as women, or before 40s as men. I mean, things happen. I mean, we have obsession with youth. People have plastic surgery where they just mutilate their bodies. We spend hours and hours at the gym trying to keep it tight. Women and men go through just untold hurdles to make sure that everything is right, everything is tight. They still look as good as they did when they were 25, you know, and now they are 40 and 50. That's not happening. There was talk about, you know, growing old gracefully. It doesn't mean that you just give it up and just let whatever happened happen, because you do want to take care of yourself. But taking care of yourself is one thing. Being obsessed with yourself is a different thing. I'm not against going to the gym. Exercise is good. It keeps us healthy. It keeps us alive. It keeps us able to perform our jobs and keep us able to enjoy life. However, the obsession is what is the issue. It's not doing it. It's the obsession. It's just like eating food. I mean, food is good. We need food. But if you obsess with the food and you have to eat everything you see all the time, then it's not healthy. So he says anything that is good can turn and become a bad thing. And so being obsessed with something is not good. It has killed many people, especially the high-profile actors and actresses and performers. It has killed them. Being obsessed with their looks, being obsessed with their success, being obsessed with trying to be the number one, and then they go through extreme limits to get the attention, to capture the light, and they just make fools of themselves. I mean, it's just like, whatever was he thinking? Whatever was she thinking? Why would they even do something like that? It's because their ego is attached to their identity of who they are, and they have to be number one. They have to be number one in order to feel good about themselves. And so they go to these extremes to hold on to that spotlight. And, you know, it fades. It fades. That's just the nature of life. It will fade. And we need to learn how to grow old gracefully with dignity and at the same time take care of ourselves. So, like I said, I'm not against taking care of ourselves. I'm not against looking good. But I'm not going to want to look like an 18 or a 20-year-old when I'm 50. I'm past 50. I don't want to look like I'm an 18 or 20 years old when I get 60. I mean, come on. It looks really silly. I saw a woman. She was walking down the street. Obviously, she was in her 50s. She was dressed like a teenager. She had all this makeup on. And she looked ridiculous. She really did. I'm like, you know, I just felt so sorry for her because she wasn't able to let it go. You have to let it go. And I'm sure that at one point she was a gorgeous woman, but she just looked silly with all that stuff on, and it's just like totally inappropriate. So let's grow old gracefully. Let's know that our external form will change, but it's the internal that is what is important. It is the internal beauty that makes the difference. I was talking to my granddaughter yesterday about beauty because she's kind of obsessed with being pretty. And she's a young girl. I mean, she'll be 12 and all that's fine and good. You know, that's the stage that she's in. But I was telling her that beauty itself is not just on the physical. It's on the spiritual level. Beauty is as beauty does. You have external beauty, which is what people see, but you also have internal beauty. And internal beauty is much more important than the external beauty. In fact, if you don't have internal beauty, then your external beauty will fade and become ugly. So we talked about, well, what was internal beauty versus external beauty? And internal beauty is love, compassion, understanding, kindness, being respectful of yourself and others. It's that kind of thing. Having those values make you a beautiful person to others. Being helpful to others, that makes you a beautiful person to others. Smiling, that makes you a beautiful person. Having some type of a breast implant or getting your hair done a certain way or wearing somebody's name on your behind, you know, these designer clothes and this, that, and the other. And I'm not against that. However, if we keep it in perspective and know where to draw the line, that this is something nice to have, I like this, I can look pretty in this, that's fine. It's the obsession with it that makes the difference. And so that's where I'm at. I don't obsess about it. I like it, but I'm not going to be obsessed with it. And so some people are obsessed with physical things. They're obsessed with owning certain cars. They're obsessed with having to go on vacations in certain places so they can post it on their Facebook page and take pictures. In the meantime, it's costing them an arm and a leg. They're going into debt, and they are miserable, but they're putting on this face for their family and friends, and it's not who they really are. And they live in a state of anger and resentment and disheartened about their situation when they can just let it go and just be happy with who they are and live the life they want to live and take the vacation where they can afford to take the vacation or not, drive the car that they can afford to drive, and not be obsessed with having to have this appearance of success and this appearance of money that they really don't possess. I knew of a family whose mother, and nobody knew this, they looked really good all the time. The kids did, she did, the husband did, they were always dressed. And she worked at Nordstrom's, and come to find out, she was shoplifting a lot of that stuff. And they arrested her at some point, and that was, you know, who knew that all those years she was stealing the stuff that her family was wearing, and they all looked like top dollar, but she was stealing the stuff from the store. And then she got arrested, and that brought so much shame on herself and on her family. And so it's being obsessed with that that is the big tiebreaker for me. Being obsessed with stuff is where we run into that pain body where our ego has really taken over and we are now subject to it rather than it being subject to us. So I'm going to go into a little break here. I want to have you listen to this song.
There was a time in my life I thought I'd have to do it all for myself. And I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient. And I didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say, if you are discouraged, struggling just
Okay, that was Ricky Byers Beckwith at Agape. If you want to hear more of her singing, you can go to agapelive.com and you can see her perform. She has wonderful, wonderful songs. And she is, they're all based on, you know, letting God, letting our spirit, whatever you want to call that higher life, lead us the way that it would have us go. I also want to take a time to talk about One Love Center. We are located on, we have services, I should start with that, on the first and third Sunday of the month. This coming Sunday, which is Father's Day, Rodney Gittens will be speaking. This is June 15th, 2014, and the talk title is I Am the Creative Dreamer. Services start at 11:30 a.m. We are located at the Village at Garay J, 886 Pacific Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11236, between Washington and Underhill Avenues. You can also find us at onelovecenter.org, and there's more information there if you want to sign up. That would be wonderful to receive our newsletters. We also have a PayPal button that you can donate to One Love Center if you so desire, and that would be a wonderful thing because it takes money to run any type of an organization. And it's a listener-supported program. So we would appreciate any donations that you could make, and it would be a wonderful thing. We also have a One Love Center blog. Right now it's focused on the Seasons for Nonviolence, but it's called Spiritual Tips for Today. And whatever that spiritual tip is, you can look at it or get it in your mailbox. Log on to onelovecenter.org and you can connect with that or go online and search One Love Center daily blog. It's with WordPress. So we have all of this stuff going on and we are continuing to grow and expand and know that life itself is an expression of the One. And our theme for this June is I am the creative dreamer, because we can dream, but we can dream and believe we can manifest. And this is what we teach. It's taught from that point of being that divine incarnation of God, and as such, we have the ability to manifest what it is that we truly desire. God created by the word, and we create our same, we create the same way. And so it says, dare to dream and dare to be free to dream a new life. Allow your highest thought, your God thought, to divinely realize, evolve, and abundantly manifest a new life for you one day at a time. We are living our highest dream in 2014. So we invite you to come and celebrate with us on Sunday. Again, that is the Village at Garay J, 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, New York, between Washington and Underhill Avenues. And we would appreciate it, again, if you would donate to us through PayPal. It's right there. And hopefully we'll see some of you show up or hear you comment on some of the things that we are doing. It would be just wonderful. Thank you very, very much for listening. So now we're going to get back to Eckhart Tolle and the power of now. We are continuing talking about, you know, the impermanence of things and the cycles of things, the high and the lows, the in and the outs, the ups and the downs, and how closely the cyclical nature of the universe, and we know about the changes of the seasons and the birth and the death, is the same as the impermanence of all things and all situations, including ourselves and our life, and talking about the physical self. Now, spiritually, we don't change and we don't die because we are that emanation of God, and God doesn't change and God doesn't die. However, there are rules or principles or laws, or however you want to look, there's ways that the universe works. There are ways that our life work. There are ways that our body work. There are ways that our mind works. There are ways that things work, so that once we understand how these things work and we work in accordance with those principles or those laws, then we can live a much happier life. We know that gravity, when you drop something, it's going to go down to the ground or to the floor. So we work in harmony with that. If we want to get rid of something, we let it go, it goes down. We roll things downhill so they can go down. We don't try to push them uphill because we know that is going to be a hard task. So we have invented machines to get things to go up. We don't need to have anything for things to go down. Going down the escalator is much easier than going up the escalator. So all of these ups and downs and ins and outs is part of that impermanence that Eckhart Tolle is talking about. And the suffering comes from our attachment to it, not from the thing itself, but from our own personal attachment to it. And we need to be able to let things go. And that's living in the now, is being able to look at what is going on now. And if this is something that is good for me, or if this is something that I need to let go. And if you need to let it go, and if you need to grieve that, then do that. But at the same time, realize it's time has come for it to go. Like this, sometimes the time has come for you to go, and it's time to go. It's just time to go and say goodbye. So he goes on to say, and I'm on page 154 now at the bottom, Buddha taught that even your happiness is dukkha, a Pali word meaning suffering or unsatisfactoriness. It is inseparable from its opposite. This means that your happiness and unhappiness are in fact one. Only the illusion of time separates them. This is not being negative. It is simply recognizing the nature of things so that you do not pursue an illusion for the rest of your life. Oh, that's pretty deep. Pursuing the illusion of whatever it is for the rest of our lives. And I talked about that earlier, how people just won't let it go. They have to stay in that light. They won't let it go. And then they just wind up making fools of themselves because everybody can realize, hey, it's just time to get off the stage. You know, it's time to sit down and rest yourself and let somebody else take the stage, and they just refuse to let it go. And they just wind up looking really silly. But there's a time to let go. And we let go of that illusion so that we can have a joyful, peaceful life with whatever we are and whatever we're doing at that time, because everything is going to come and everything is going to go. Time changes everything. It says, not that this is saying that you should no longer appreciate pleasant or beautiful things or condition, but to seek something through them that they cannot give, an identity, a sense of permanency and fulfillment, is a recipe for frustration and suffering. The whole advertising industry and consumer society would collapse if people became enlightened enough and no longer sought to find their identity through things. The more you seek happiness in this way, the more it will elude you. Nothing out there will ever satisfy you except temporarily and superficially, but you need to have this experience of disillusionment many times before you realize this truth. Things and conditions can give you pleasure, but they will also give you pain. They cannot give you joy. Pleasure and joy are two different things. Nothing can give you joy. Joy is uncaused and arises from within as the joy of being. It is an essential part of the inner state of peace and that state that has been called the peace of God. It is your natural state, not something that you need to work at or struggle for to obtain. Now, again, talking about the babies are just happy. They just laugh and they just have a good time for no reason. Happiness, happy for no reason. Can you just wake up in the morning and just be happy just because you woke up in the morning and now you have another day to live life and to enjoy the life you live? Can you just wake up and be that place, be in that place of happiness, be in that place where you don't have to do anything to feel good? Just enjoy the day. Just look out, especially now that we are in the, especially now that we are in the fall, the summertime. And, especially now that we're in the summertime and we don't have to go outside to really get out there. We can look out the window in the morning and know that we are enjoying the day. We can look out the window in the morning and see the trees and the flowers. We can look out the window and hear the birds. We can look out the window and see the sun and enjoy that time that we can be there together. Just appreciate life today. That can make us happy. Going into nature is the surest way to find happiness at any given time. So if you don't know what you want to do, go out into nature. Just sit and just be there. Just be with Mother Nature. Be with the earth. Be with the trees. Be with the birds. Just be there. Just sit and think and wonder, what would make me really happy? What is it that I want to do that would make my soul happy? Just sit there and think about it. And then after a while, you start getting some ideas, or some old dream will resurface in you. Something will happen. You'll get a click. Something will just take it over and say, this is what I want to do. And then you'll feel energized and ready to take on your next step, take on your next way of being. This is just what life is all about, coming into greater and greater realization of the self, coming into greater and greater realization that life on this plane is not permanent. We are here to express ourselves, to dream and to make our dreams a reality, to live the life that God intended us to live in peace and joy and harmony with one another, and to have our creative juices flowing, to have our sense of purpose out there, to do these things. And we can do them, but we have to understand that in doing so, nothing lasts forever. It's always changing. We can see that, talk about this consumer society. There's an upgrade in technology like every few months. How many versions of the Apple phone are there? Look at the latest laptop and the computers and the tablets. I mean, everything is always changing. Before you get used to one platform or one way of operating, here comes another one. And you're like, whoa, it is so fast. It is so much going on all at once. And so here we go with all of this stuff going on, and it's all about getting used to the change. And there are still some people, some older people, who will not use a cell phone, who will not have a computer in their house. They're still stuck in the old days. They don't want to change their ways. I know at one point I didn't think that I had to deal with computers and stuff like that myself. But, hey, if you don't, you're going to be out of touch with society. And so here we go. Here we go again. And here we go again. And here we go again. So we have to continue to keep up with the changes. We have to be able to release and let go, and we have to be able to take on the new. But we also can create the life that we want to live through all of this, because life evolves. It's not stagnant. It evolves. And it evolves to higher and more and greater expressions of whatever it is that we'd like to experience. And so as we let our life grow and evolve through our dreams, through our creative process, through seeking more and greater happiness and joy in our lives, we can do these things, but we have to let the other things go in order for that to happen. And so you can't just stay in the same condition that you've been in for the rest of your life. That is the crux of feeling frustration and of suffering. And it says that the more you seek it this way, the more it will elude you. that there was nothing that would ever satisfy you except temporarily and superficially. And you will need to experience many disillusionments before you realize the truth, that things and conditions can give you pleasure, but they will also give you things. Things and conditions will give you pleasure, but they cannot give you joy. And nothing can give you joy. Joy is your natural state of being. So practice just being joyful, being happy for no reason. It says, many people never realize that there can be no salvation in anything they do, possess, or attain. Those who do realize it often become world-weary and depressed. If nothing can give you true fulfillment, what is there left to strive for? What is the point of anything? The Old Testament prophet must have arrived at such a realization when he wrote, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. When you reach this point, you are one step away from despair and one step away from enlightenment. So we chase after these things. We want to become the biggest and the greatest and the most wonderful, this, that, and the other. We have these dreams and we chase them. And then when we get there, we realize, wow, it's an emptiness. It's still not giving us the satisfaction that we want. And so there's two things to do. We go into despair. Oh, what is it all about? What's the point? What's the use? And at some point, some people commit suicide or they go into alcohol or some type of addiction to take away that pain. Or you go into enlightenment. You rise above. You rise above, and you can see it from a different level. It's just like when the bird rises above the earth, they see it from a different angle, like the butterfly and the caterpillar. The caterpillar is down on the earth crawling around, eating the vegetation, and then something happens, a change happens, a crisis happens, cocoon, and they're in it. And in that cocoon, a transformation happens, and they emerge as butterflies. Now, when they emerge as butterflies, they don't just come out the cocoon and fly right away. They have to take time to let their wings dry and to strengthen their wings before they can fly. But it's the same animal, the caterpillar and the butterfly. It's the same one. One was on the physical plane, and now the other one, the rebirth one, the transformed one, however you want to look at it, is now on the spiritual plane where they can rise above and they can look at the things that they once thought were the most magnificent thing, crawling around and eating these wonderful leafy greens, and they tasted so great. And now they can fly and they can look and they can see. Now they take the nectar from the flowers, and they can just go where they want to go. And it's a wonderful, wonderful life. Reading on, it says, a Buddhist monk once told me, all I have learned in 20 years that I have been a monk can be summed up in one sentence, that all that arises passes away. All that arises passes away. This I know. What he meant, of course, was this. I have learned to offer no resistance to what is. I have learned to allow the present moment to be and to accept the impermanent nature of all things and conditions. Thus, I have found peace. To offer no resistance to life is to be in a state of grace, ease, and lightness. This state is then no longer dependent upon things being a certain way of good or bad. It almost seems paradoxical. And yet, when your inner dependence is gone, on form is gone, when your inner dependency on form is gone, the general conditions of your life, the outer forms, tend to improve greatly. Things, people, or conditions that you thought you needed for your happiness now come to you with no struggle or effort on your part. You are free to enjoy and appreciate them while they last. all those things, of course, will still pass away. The cycles will still come and go. But with dependency gone, there is no fear of loss anymore, and life flows with ease. This happiness that is derived from this secondary source is never very deep. The happiness that is derived from some secondary force is never very deep. It is only a pale reflection of the joy of being, the vibrant peace that you find within you as you enter the state of non-resistance. Being takes you beyond the polar opposites of the mind, frees you from dependency on form. When if everything were to collapse and crumble all around you, you would still feel a deep inner core of peace. You may not be happy, but you will be at peace. All want peace, peace of mind. And in their peace of mind, even when things aren't going the way that you would have them go or want them to go, but you're at peace with it. That means that you can deal with it. You are in power. And there's a certain amount of joy and happiness in just being in that place of peace, even when things aren't going around, aren't going the way that you want them to go. You know this too shall pass. So it can crumble. It can go. But it's only going to go and change and then become an even better way of being for you. When the next thing comes along, that's the time for us to dream and to regenerate our lives, to transform our lives into something else. It's the winter. It's the dark night of the soul. It's all of that. And we can go into that space where everything is falling apart, where things are crumbling, and knowing that this is the end of that. Let me look now at what I want to recreate from this, the phoenix rising. What is it that I want to recreate from these ashes? What is now calling to me? Because it's going to pass. It's going to happen. And when we realize that, we can be at peace with that. Like I said before, this is not saying that you will not feel any regrets, that you will not feel any disappointments or hurts. You will. But it's a temporary situation. You know what's going on. You allow yourself time to grieve. You allow yourself to reflect and be grateful for what you have learned, from what you have gained. If you need to do some forgiveness work for yourself or other people, say somebody's other recklessness or inconsideration caused you to lose or caused a certain amount of unhappiness in your life, it's time to practice forgiveness for them. It's time to practice compassion for them, because only hurt people hurt people. At the same time, you have learned some valuable lessons. It's time to be more grateful for that. It is time to look at your skills and how your life has changed as a result. It is time to move on, but it's also time to honor the past. It's time to give reverence to that which has brought you this far and you know will carry you through. Because we are here to move forward. We are here to grow. We are not here to stand still and be in one place for the rest of our lives. Everything changes. People, places, circumstances, it all changes. Only the spirit is permanent. Only the spirit is that which doesn't change. And that is who we are at our core, at the essence of our being. We are the emanations of God. We are here having this human experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience on this plane. But we live as spiritual beings in a spiritual world. That means we can change it by the power of our word. We can create what we want it to be. We are spiritual beings. We live in a spiritual world. And this world is governed by spiritual laws. And this is what we teach at One Love Center. And this is what we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living all over the world. And again, we have our services on the first and third Sunday at the Village at Garage. That's 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, New York, between Washington and Underhill Avenues. Off of public transportation, you can take the C train and get off at Clinton and Washington Avenue and walk over a couple of blocks. Street parking is available. Also, we have the One Love Center blog. And we also ask that you donate, if you can, through PayPal. Go to www.onelovecenter.org. That's onelovecenter.org. And you can find out more information about that. This Sunday, June 15th, Rodney Gittens will be our speaker. And his talk topic, I think, is just fascinating. It is, I Am the Creative Dreamer. That's the theme for the month. And his talk topic, Mind, Magic, Mystery, and Manifestation. Mind, magic, mystery, and manifestation, because there is magic, and there is mystery, and there is manifestation. In fact, everything comes out of the invisible into the visible, and we don't know how. We see the leaves come off the trees. We see the babies grow and change. We see these things, but we don't know how it actually happens. This is what we teach. This is what we learn. And I invite you to come out and celebrate with us. And I would like to close using a couple of what we call creative formations. And I will say them, and you can repeat them in your heart and mind and soul. I am a powerful, unlimited creative being. I am the open channel for the creative force of God to operate through me as me, and I wisely choose how to direct this creative force. I express my creative powers in accordance with spiritual laws of life. My creative imagination is the groundwork for all good that flows into my life. And the divine spirit withholds nothing from me as I welcome divine ideas through my dreams and my meditations. And so with that, I wish you all a good night. I wish you all the peace and happiness that surpasses all understanding. I wish you the ability to release and let go that which no longer serves you, to take the time to take care of yourself, to regenerate yourself, to get rid of that which you need to get rid of, and to look at your life and decide, what is my next step? What is my next stage? And when times come for you to rest your body, rest your body. When time comes for you to move into another stage in life, be willing to move into that next stage. But also take the time to have that elegant ending, to celebrate where you've been, and also to celebrate where you're going. It's all about being able to live in the change, in the ebb and flow of life. That's what life is all about. What do you do in the ebbs, and what do you do in the flow? It's all about the ebbs and the flow. And so I wish you well. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. yet another song.
Problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life too far, just go have a talk with God. Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend. Look, it ain't all about the one who never ever let you down. And you can talk to him anytime, he's always around. When you feel your life too far, just go have a talk. Your life too far.